Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And to do that, what we really need to do is we need to get into your head. We need to get into that gray matter between your ears. You know, that thing that drives everything that you do, you know, that place where, if you think about it, where is it in your body that you feel whoever what you are resides? And for me, it's in the mind. Yeah, the mind is where everything kind of collects. It's where all the electrical signals, you know, move from synapses to synapses, and it basically controls the rest of the body. It's the thing that drives you. Your mind drives you. Now, there are involuntary and voluntary things that your mind controls. You heard me correctly. Now, the involuntary stuff, that's the stuff your body and your mind have agreed that you do not get to mess with. Things like making sure your heart beats, making sure you breathe air, making sure that the waste in your body is properly processed and removed while the nutrients are absorbed. See, all that stuff goes on in your body, and your mind actually controls all of that. Those are the involuntary things, the things you should not mess with. Now, there are voluntary things that occur in your mind. This is all the stuff you get to play with. This is all the things that ultimately make up the rest of you. This is where your free will resides. This is where you take input from the world, you process it, and then you go about your business. And for most of you, you did exactly what I did throughout my life. Let me explain it to you. When we were young, very young, let's take you all the way back to where, maybe to a date that you barely remember. I mean, go as far back in your mind as you can go to a date so far back, to that distant memory, that one thing that kind of resonates as the first thought that made a significant impression upon your mind. And from there, from that point of consciousness, from that point of self-actualization, okay, Maslow, I might have butchered your stuff there, but from that point until now, your mind has been at work. Your mind has been processing information that was given to you by other people, information that was given to you by the world, maybe even information that was given to you by God himself. All of these things get processed in your mind. And you have to make decisions. You have to take that input and make a decision on how you're going to proceed with your life. You know, life today is so much different than it was, say, 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 300 years. You know where I'm going with this. Society has found ways to create improvements in the living conditions of our lives. I mean, think about it. We live our lives better than kings did in the Middle Ages. They didn't have flush toilets. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have social media. They didn't have phones. They didn't have any of that stuff. But all that stuff was created by man. And all of that stuff exists today. And ironically, that stuff that exists today also imprints on your mind information. Information that you either will choose to accept or information you will choose to reject. Now, something else goes on in your mind. You ready for this? It's a concept called the belief system. Yeah, it's a belief system. The belief system is generated in your mind based on experiences you have processed and made decisions on how you will deal with those things going forward. Pretty cool stuff, right? Yeah, but along with that belief system, it's really a two-fork road, because you have some beliefs that are very good beliefs. These are excellent beliefs. These are beliefs that are actually helping to drive your life and helping you get to where you're trying to get to. But then there's these other kinds of beliefs, and we call those things false beliefs. These are beliefs that you believe to be true, but in reality, they're really not. But because of experiences you've had and decisions that were made, you accept these things to be absolutely true. And they're not. So what am I getting at? Well, there are three absolute false beliefs that you probably believe to be true when it comes to investing in real estate. We know this because we've done the research. We've polled our 50,000 members. We have gotten the information that we needed. And what we found was the three prominent false beliefs that exist in your mind about real estate investing have to do with risk, have to do with time, and it has to do with money. You've probably heard that real estate is very risky. You've probably heard that people lose their shirts when they invest in real estate. You've probably heard that it takes a ton of time to invest in real estate, or that investing in real estate is like taking on an additional 40-hour-a-week job. You've probably heard that you need to have buckets and buckets and buckets of money to invest in real estate. And I'm here to tell you this. All of those things that I just described to you, those are all false beliefs. Those aren't really true. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the factual information that you're looking for. We come back for the break. I'm going to get into these three false beliefs, and I'm going to tear them down for you, because I think you need to understand that there's a better path for you. And let's break it down. I'll be right back.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. A belief is a feeling of trust, faith, or confidence in either someone or something. And a conviction, well, that's just a higher level form of a belief. Yeah, a conviction is a firmly held belief or an opinion. In other words, it's probably something that drives your life. And like I mentioned in the first segment, beliefs are instilled in us at a very early age, and they lead to many of our future decisions. They do. Some of those beliefs lead to some really great decisions that we make. But other beliefs cause us to limit possibilities, to rule out possibilities in our life, even before we try, because we have some kind of information that has come into our mind that has told us that's a danger zone. Don't go there. That's a bad place. If you go there, bad things will happen to you. The thing about beliefs is that they don't have to be true to be limiting. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Those false beliefs. Those false beliefs, they can stop you dead in your tracks. Yeah, because you believe that whatever information that's stopping you dead in your tracks is actually true, even though it may not actually be true. Let's cut to the chase. If you don't believe something is possible, you're going to dismiss it. You're not going to take action. It will not become something that formulates into the goals that you set for yourself. And I'm here to tell you, one of the things that you have to do to modify your mind is to question your false beliefs. You have to find those false beliefs and you have to address them. You have to make sure that you don't have any false beliefs holding you back from achieving the life you're trying to achieve. Because that's all part of what we're talking about. Well, I'm talking to you about a concept, a mindset shift that will help you to get on track to retiring yourself in the next 5 years. I'm dead serious about this stuff. There's a guy out there. He's deceased now. He's deceased. But he was a very influential man. The guy's name is Zig Ziglar. You've heard of Zig. And Zig, man, I'll tell you, that guy has all these awesome quotes. He comes up with these little acronyms that are just perfect. And he came up with an acronym that will literally help you address your false beliefs. You want to know what the acronym is? All right, let's share it. FEAR. Yep, that was it. You heard it. FEAR. Now, the acronym FEAR stands for false evidence appearing real. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You are probably suffering from a fear about real estate investing because you just don't know what you just don't know. Or you have heard something from somebody else that you trust. Somebody else that you think has got it together who told you this real estate stuff is risky. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of time. If you venture into that danger area, you will be blown up. And you believe that. You absolutely believe that. But you're conflicted. You're conflicted because you come to the show, and I bring people onto the show. I had Sean and Heather on yesterday, and you hear people like Sean and Heather tell you how they achieved retirement at right around the 5-year mark, sooner maybe, possibly later. But you start hearing these results. And then you hear things like, well, Sean started real estate investing with absolutely no real estate investing experience. He had never owned property in his life. And he's working as an engineer. He's a legitimate rocket scientist. Yeah, Sean's a rocket scientist. I mean, he went to school, he's got a mechanical engineering degree. He worked for NASA. Yet even working for NASA did not put him on a glide path to achieve the life that he has now. And Sean came to Lifestyles Unlimited specifically to break that painful path that he had been following his entire life. You know, working until he's 60, maybe 70, trying to build up that 401k, hoping he has enough money to live off of in old age, praying that Social Security will show up at some point like the Calvary shows up. Sean was smart enough to realize that stuff is nonsense. Actually, that stuff is a false belief. And if you believe in that system, you are setting yourself up for failure. You heard me correctly. You are setting yourself up for failure. So Sean comes to Lifestyles Unlimited, and what's the first thing he does as a member? Does he go out and buy a house for himself? No, not at all. He went out and bought not one, but two distressed assets that he remediated and put back into service and made those assets available for a family that was looking for clean, functional workforce housing that wanted something nice that didn't want to pay through the nose for it. That's what Sean delivered. So Sean didn't even buy himself his own principal residence until he had bought some investment property. And I will tell you this. Now, what you did not hear on yesterday's show was the conversation Sean and I had in the background between segments. And one of the things he mentioned to me was, yeah, he had to do a little bit of a mindset shift. He had to do it. All of us have to do it. As a matter of fact, we talk about mindset shift in just about everything we do, because it's so important for you to get past what you think is correct and get to what is actually viable. Yeah. So when Zig Ziglar says fear is usually false evidence appearing real, Zig is correct. Zig is in the Gets It Club. Now, let's talk about risk, because this is the one that everybody says is true. Real estate is the most risky of investments. It is risky. As a matter of fact, you should put your money in the stock market, because at least in the stock market, if the value goes down, you'll get more shares, if you're buying that way, that is, and then you just have to ride it out till the market comes back. And then you will have made so much more money because you have dollar cost averaging. Well, that's all fine and dandy if your money's sitting in the stock market, and then all of a sudden, 6 months before you're set to retire, the market goes through one of its quote-unquote corrections. I like to use the word crash because that's really what it does. I mean, if you look at a stock chart, it just falls like a hot knife slicing through butter. And don't try and catch that knife. Don't try and catch it. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And I will tell you this, back in 2007 and 2008, a lot of people were in that position. They were in that position where they were riding the stock market. Everything was good. They were looking forward to retirement. 6 months before retirement, boosh, all of a sudden, 40, 50, 60% of the value of their assets went away, and they were unable to retire. Now, that, to me, is risky. But when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about those risks you've heard about with regards to real estate. Stick around.
The other thing, I think people hear landlord or property owner and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate. And that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so as promised, I'm going to get into these three risks. Well, let me back up a step. I'm going to get into these false beliefs, and the first one is risk. And there's like three prominent things that come to mind when we talk about risk with real estate. Stuff that I've heard throughout my lifetime, stuff that I have heard from other people. Some of those people I trusted, some of those people I didn't necessarily trust, but it was still information coming in. And when it comes to risk, let's just be clear. Most people think that you cannot guarantee what somebody is going to do once they get into your property. Yeah, they could be like totally negligent because maybe they're not, you know, viewing that property at the level of care that maybe you would. So you start to think that maybe they're negligent, and maybe through their negligent behavior, it's going to cause something like a fire to occur, and maybe they burn the whole place down. And you know what I say to that? Burn, baby, burn. Now, I don't want anybody to be hurt. I don't want anybody to be damaged by the fact there's a fire in the property. But I will tell you this. The peril that everybody thinks you need to be worried about is having something like a fire occur in your property, because it's going to take that property offline. All of a sudden, that property's, you know, a portion or all of it's going to burn down, right? And you're thinking, how do I make money if the thing's burned down? Well, we use a concept called leverage. And one of the things that we talk about with leverage is the fact that you have to leverage either other people's time, other people's money, or other people's knowledge. And in the case of a unit that burns down, not a problem. I've got the right insurance on my properties. As a matter of fact, I'm going to rebuild those properties. Whatever was damaged, I'm going to rebuild it to brand new condition because it's essentially going to be new construction. I'm not going to worry about losing income every month that that property is offline being put back together, because I will have a rider on my insurance policy that talks about loss of rent insurance. Meaning when the resident can't live there and I have to let them out of the lease because there's no place for them to live, I can't charge them. The insurance company will make a payment to me as if that resident were in place. And they will continue to do so until I get that property back online, I get my certificates of occupancy, and I can put new residents in place. Now, the other interesting thing about having a fire in your property, and I think Heather brought it up yesterday on yesterday's show. They said they had 8 or 16 units that burned on one of the properties that they were buying. And ironically, when they rebuilt those units, they built them to brand new building codes. So you've got a section of the apartment community that's newer than the rest. And as a result of that, that newer section actually commands a premium because it has nicer amenities and more safety features than the rest of the apartment building, which was built a little bit earlier. So they're able to charge higher rents for that improved property. Yeah. Okay, so what about those tenants? You've heard the stories about tenants like leaving in the middle of the night. That's it. Okay, we're out of here. We're going to tear the place up and we're going to leave. I've never experienced that. I've never experienced that. Because what I do is I stringently screen anybody and anybody and everybody that wants to rent one of my properties. Now, I follow all fair housing laws. I have strict standards that I utilize to determine whether or not somebody qualifies to go into a business relationship with me. So as a result of that, and because I follow the best product at the best price model, it attracts the best people. Meaning that when I put my product out into the inventory of available products, the people that come and look at that product say, hey, this is nicer than anything else I've looked at, and I really would like to call this playhouse home. And I'm like, cool. I'm looking for people that pay on time, take care of the property, and keep me informed if something is wrong. And that pretty much allows me to bring in the best people to reside in my properties. Now, another thing that you've probably heard is that once you buy a property, everything's going to break. It's all going to break. You've heard all the stories. You know, your uncle went and bought a property, they put a resident in there, and then all of a sudden the air conditioner went out. And he spent a bunch of money to fix that. And then there was a problem with the plumbing. And he spent a bunch of money to fix that. And then there was a problem with, it just goes on and on and on. See, in that particular scenario, that is somebody that does not really know how to acquire real estate. See, what you really need to do is look at the asset. Instead of just buying the asset and then dealing with whatever comes up, you go through that asset with a fine-tooth comb. Yeah, you look at everything, every system in that house, every structural component in that house. You make a determination as to whether or not they have a lifespan of 5 or more years. I like to look at a 5 to 7 year lifespan. If something in that house, if something is telling me that it will not last that 5 to 7 years, it goes on my punch list, which creates my scope of work that I hand to my general contractor. And basically, what I identify is that, okay, the water heater, it's too old. It probably does not have, based on its current age, it probably doesn't have a lifespan of 5 to 7 years. So I factor in a cost to replace that. And then maybe the roof is bad. Maybe I need to put a new 30-year roof on that. So I work a cost for that. And maybe there's foundation problems. So I have my foundation guy come out and give me an estimate for what it's going to take to fix that. So once I have all of my costs assembled to remediate that property, I just plug all that into my analysis spreadsheet. It's not a big spreadsheet. It's an easy spreadsheet that I use that I kind of built it myself. And I determined right there on the spot whether or not I want to be in the deal or I don't. Yeah. If it's going to cost too much money to repair that property, I'll walk away from the deal. But if everything lines up, I will do that deal. And what I'm looking to do is I'm looking to buy the property at wholesale pricing. I am looking to repair the property so that my all-in cost for that property, which is the acquisition and everything associated with the repairs, still keeps me at wholesale pricing. Because one of the things I'm attempting to do, and I will do because the property does not do this for me, I will not acquire the property, is I am looking to find and capture the equity between everything I put into that property and what the fair market value is. We call that the after repair value, what that property would be worth in the marketplace if we were to sell it. But we don't sell it. We hold it and we put it into inventory. Very important distinction. So all of you that watch HGTV, and I know they've got a new show out, you know, the, what do they call it, Flipping 101? Okay, they're not going to teach you how to flip, trust me. And they will leave a lot of the elements out of flipping. Oh, and by the way, flipping, based on Lifestyles Unlimited standards and other standards called the IRS, flipping is not investing. You are taxed completely differently. Yeah, you're taxed completely differently. And that's one of those false beliefs that's out there. Yeah, it's a false belief that, you know, you're going to make tons of money flipping. Well, I'll tell you what, when you come to one of our free workshops, we're going to show you an example of acquiring a property and flipping it versus acquiring a property and holding it and what happens in the whole taxation piece. It's really amazing. It's the kind of stuff they won't tell you on HGTV, because once you realize the taxes that are associated with flipping, you start to realize that flipping is really a full-time job. That's it. It's a full-time job. There are people that flip properties specifically because they wanted to trade one job for another job, and now they've got one. And ironically, if they just start holding some of those assets, they can migrate away from having to flip properties and just own properties. We come back from the break. I got to talk to you about time as well as money. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we talked about the false belief that real estate is very risky. It's a false belief. When you know how to do it correctly, you take the risk out of it. You do. Most of the risk associated with investing incorrectly in real estate is based on the fact that the people that didn't know something that was important for them to know, and therefore they made a decision that took them down a path that got them to a result they were not happy with. And that's what occurs. And that's how all these risk stories about real estate come into being. They come into being. Go on all those chat boards that are out there. If you want to see those kind of stories, they're all out there. Just be careful what you look at and be careful of the information you take from those chat boards, because there might be false beliefs in there that are going to reinforce false beliefs in you that are going to keep you from doing what you need to do so that we can change your life. Now, here's another false belief that is absolutely prevalent out there. Absolutely prevalent. Time. Yeah, you need a lot of time to invest in real estate. I mean, you have to be at the property all the time. You have to go do this. You have to go do that. All of a sudden, no, that's not how you do it. I want to break that paradigm right now. Imagine an orchestra. Imagine you sitting in a giant concert hall watching a symphony orchestra play. And it's a beautiful orchestra. Maybe it's 100 pieces. And it has everything. It has the strings. It has the woodwinds. It has the flutes. It has the brass. It has the drums. It has all the other musical elements that I don't even know exist in a symphony. They're all there. And they're all doing different things at different times. And there's one person in control of all of that. The conductor. You heard me correctly. The conductor is orchestrating all of that. The conductor does not make sure that the guy playing the saxophone is doing his rehearsals. That's on the guy that does the saxophone thing. The conductor is utilizing the guy playing the saxophone because he fits in well with all the other elements of the orchestra. See, that's the way it is in real estate. You're orchestrating the deal. You are taking full advantage of the power of leverage. You're going to leverage other people's time. You're going to leverage other people's money. And you're going to leverage their knowledge. This is the success path to investing in real estate. I don't want you going to a property and thinking you need to, you know, pick up a hammer and hang some drywall. I also don't want you thinking you need to go to a property to change the plunger on a toilet. I don't want you going to the property and repainting it. I don't want you doing any of that stuff. Number one, you're probably not very good at it. And even if you are, I want you to understand that your time, you heard me correctly, your time is extremely valuable. And if you waste that time on tasks that are not getting you to where you're trying to get to because there's somebody better qualified to do that task than you, you're missing the point. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, picking up a hammer or a paintbrush or any of that stuff's beneath you. That's not what I'm telling you. But here's what I want you to embrace. You have to get to the point in your mind where you start to look at your real estate investments as a business. And every asset that you have is a business unit within that business. And what we want you to do is understand that your job is to work on that business. It's not to work in the business. It's to work on the business. The conductor does not stop what he's doing and then go jump into the horn section and play a solo and then jump back in front of the orchestra and continue on. No, he might be capable of doing that solo, but he has somebody fully qualified to do that. He does not need to do that. Oh, by the way, if you look at the salary breakdown for most symphony orchestras, okay, I'll tell you this. Most musicians, they don't make a ton of money. I don't really know what they make. I think in the San Antonio Symphony, maybe they're making $35,000 to $45,000, depending on experience, per year to play in the symphony. But the conductor is making six figures. Okay, let that resonate with you. Do you understand why you need to be the orchestrator? And you're thinking, okay, man, okay, I get that part, but here's the thing. What about finding these properties? That takes a lot of time. And I'm here to tell you, no, it doesn't. It does not take a lot of time. You'll actually need to spend a little bit of time investing in creating relationships with top-notch real estate agents. You heard me correctly. You need to create relationships with top-notch real estate agents. These are the people that are the movers and shakers in the field. 80% of the realtors make 20% of the money. 20% of the realtors make 80% of the money. You want to seek out that 20% that's owning 80% of the market share. You want to create a relationship with them because you're going to share with them what kind of assets you're looking for. And once they have that on their radar, the quality agents will always be looking for something that meets your criteria. When they have one, they're going to contact you and say, hey, I found one. And because you've been trained by us on how to do what we call the back of the napkin, which is really just a quick analysis to see if that particular property is going to work for you, you'll know in a couple minutes whether or not that's one you want to go after or you're going to pass on. And don't feel bad about the real estate agent, because here's the thing. If they found that asset and they think it's still a viable asset, even if you didn't buy it, they probably have somebody else that may be interested in it. Although that other person may not be as highly educated as you are and may not get the same result that you would have obtained had you acquired that property. So the point is this, I don't care how much time you have. I don't care if you're working 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week. You're going to have like at least 20 real estate agents out there constantly looking for property and sending matches your way. I'm just telling you that's the way it works. And you don't have to stop at 20. That's just the number we suggest you get to. You can go beyond that too. We're okay with that. Do what makes sense for your business model. Now, when it comes to money, man, let me break that false belief down. It's going to pain me to say this, but I'm going to say it. You don't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to get started investing in real estate. That's a false belief. But I will tell you this. In today's markets, given what's going on in today's markets, you still need to have money to invest. There are such things as zero money down deals. They actually exist in today's marketplace, but they're kind of like the pink elephant. Yeah, they don't show up very often. And the other thing you need to understand is part of the reason some of our members are able to achieve a no money down or a no cash out of pocket is what I really should say, a no cash out of pocket deal, is because they understand how to buy correctly. They understood how to leverage the purchase as well as some, if not all, of the repair costs by using a hard money asset. And they're not afraid of something called a hard money asset, which you've probably heard is like the devil. It is not the devil. It is a means to an end. It's an opportunity for you to use and leverage other people's money so that you keep your cash outlays to a minimum. Oh, and by the way, the smaller the amount of money that you ultimately put into a property will in return create better returns for you. That's the way it works. And that's part of the reason we leverage our properties. In other words, we do not go and buy properties for all cash. We don't do it that way. We just don't. We will put leverage on the finished product. We will clear the hard money loan. We will put conventional financing on the property. And part of the reason we do that has to do with the taxation of real estate. See, the profits that you'll make on a monthly basis, let's say they're $400 a month, that $400 is going to be offset by the depreciation that comes off of this property, because the IRS, it's all in the tax code. The IRS says you will take a depreciation amount, which is basically taking the value of the property minus the land cost and dividing it by 27 and a half years. And that's the amount of annual depreciation you get to take. When you are properly leveraged with a conventional loan, you will find that some, if not all, of that depreciation is going to offset the income that you take on that property. And as a result, you will have a very small or a zero tax liability. So I will tell you, if you have absolutely no money, you need to start saving some money up. You need to start putting some money aside. You need to start changing some of your behaviors now so that you can start setting money aside so that we can get you going in this process. And it takes one property for you to get started. If you want the rest of the story, I am more than happy to share it with you. As a matter of fact, the easiest way for you to get the rest of the story is to check out one of our free workshops. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. When you get there, pick a workshop that works for you, and then when the time comes, attend, take note, and change your mindset.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.